Dede.
Dede Tumba,
welcome to American Swahili News Podcast and Swahili Villa Online Podcast here, right here in Columbia, South Carolina. Tell us a little bit about what exactly is going on during this summer. I've seen you have sent me a promotion about the languages. Let's start talking about the languages. What kind of programs do you have, Dede?
Yes. Hello again. This is Dede Tumba, the Congolese community of Atlanta president. What we are trying to do on the front, as we did during the pandemic, helping the community with food drive. So it's just a continuity, promoting our values and culture. And what we've noticed within our community, the lack of communication in our dialect and language within families, because dad and mom have two or three jobs, and by the time they get home to do the homework, the only homework, we can only do that in English, right? So
That's right.
Very hard to communicate, and we tend to lose the language because children, by the time homework are done, everybody goes to bed, and the only time, and it's this cycle that we're trying to break. So the summer is ending, and everybody's going to kind of relax a little bit. And we're trying to introduce this program, having professors, teachers, and whoever out there who can speak fluently Swahili, Lingala, Chiluba, and Kikongo. This is the four national language that we have in DRC, plus French, which is the official business language. But to promote, to push our children to get familiar again with our culture. And we all know the language. That's the main entry for the culture, for any group out there. So we're trying to push that very hard for this studying this fall, and all the way to next year. We will have a big event and inviting individuals who write books in different languages. But this is just the first step to reach out to individuals, to help our children, our communities, and to recognize that, of course, we all guilty, and I feel guilty myself sometimes, but it's very hard as a parent, but we have to acknowledge and talk about it. So we'll have this program, not just start teaching once a month. We'll choose any languages, and we invite a volunteer that will come. And that's the reason why the message was sent, that we're looking for books, also individual who wrote books especially for children about our culture, about the dialect, about who we are, who we come from, a little history. It doesn't matter from anywhere, but the first step is just start with the DRC, and then as we're going to move along with other places.
Dede, you have covered a lot of things out there. You've talked about the languages, the dialects, the event, the coming up event, the school homeworks, and there's so many things that you have just talked about when we started these conversations. Can you talk about a little bit about the event that you have scheduled for the all the Congolese and then I think in American friends who are in Atlanta and in the surrounding areas, when exactly this event is scheduled? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yes, I was referring to the first event is going to be July 31st, Tribune Park, Lawrenceville, 30045. And this is we've been working for the last 2 years and see how we can help the community with funeral expenses. I've done close to 10, 11 GoFundMe and so many like yourself help for the Bureau, for our brothers and sisters that didn't have any life insurance whatsoever. So we have been studying for the last 2 years, see how we can come up with a program that will help the community. And the DRC, we are about 7,000 now in Atlanta and going up. And the most of, I would say, 70%, close to 70%, 65% don't have life insurance whatsoever. So we did the study and came up with a program, a plan to offer the last the expenses, that's going to be between $10,000-$15,000. That will be able to cover for pure dignity for our brothers and sisters that leave this earth. At least that will cover, and the remaining the money, if there's a GoFund, that will go into the family pocket through program for, especially for children, through program for tuition, for colleges and scholarship that we were trying to create. And we are looking for sponsor for that matter, but it's just the first step. But we just realized that this life insurance, this big program, life insurance, and we all know, unless you have a good company offering a good package or bank offer you a good benefits through life insurance, through their own network, that's helpful. But the rest of our people that works in chicken farms, that works in meat packing farms, and usually are independent and self-employed, do not have that advantage to have as a matter of fact, of medical coverage as well. So it's just a first step that we're offering our community. This, and this is not just for it's going to go, this is not just for Congolese, but it's going to go for down the road. We're going to start offering other communities. So that'll be July 31st, and I have flyers that I'm going to send. I have flyers that we made in Swahili, yes. Lingala, Chiluba, French, and Kikongo, to make sure that it covers everyone, because our communities is growing, and we have elders that been here as refugee. We have a large refugee community in Clarkston, Georgia, and we have a lot of elders that came through the same program, United Nations program for the refugee resettlement. And for that matter, we have this flyers, and we'll have a communication agent that will be talking into either dialect, into or Swahili, to make sure that everybody understand what is at stake right here. So it's just a first step program, but it's a product done by Congolese for Congolese.
absolutely. You have touched a very serious area about the funeral burial services that is pretty much new, especially for that influx of the refugees that they're coming from DRC. We do have the same influx of the families. Of the members of the from the DRC here in Columbia, South Carolina, and you've talked about, you have almost 7,000 Congolese in the city of the Atlantas. Can you talk a little bit about the lifestyle changes and all that with respect to your brothers and sisters from the DRC Congo that have came here with, I think you've talked about the United Nations refugees programs. How do they cope and adapt with the lifestyles there in Atlanta?
Yes, thanks for the question. That's a great question, Doc. Very soon, you're going to be the one of the first. I'm going to make the announcement of the first Congolese resettlement agency. It's on work right now. We should be announcing that in around September or early October, and we are working with the federal government, as a matter of fact, to other agency that you might know, Americas Inspiritus. Mm-hmm. Those are the number of, there's a four big agencies, resettlement agency, that we're working on right now. Mm-hmm. The reason is during the Trump administration, the quota of refugee was lowered to 15,000 application per year, 15,000. But we're talking about 59 countries that we have refugee in Clarkston, just in Clarkston. And then Gainesville, that's another place where we have the refugee, Gainesville, Georgia, north of Georgia. But the fact that the Biden administration came on board and said, hey, we can't, with the immigration down in Mexico, things that's going on with the DACA, we have to do something. And they raised the percentage to 85,000 application new resettlement. So the Congo DRC are number one. With the conflict in the east, we are number one to receive all these new brothers and sisters coming here. which is great for them. So they've been waiting for on these, most of these, they've been waiting for 10 years, sometimes 15 years in this camp in Tanzania, in Kenya, in Burundi, Rwanda, and Mozambique or Cameroon, and I believe Malawi. Uganda as well. So they've been waiting for all these years, and it was under Trump administration, everything just frozen, was slow, but now they were given hope. So when they come here, it's month to month, as you know, the communication, and with the technology, smartphone, the message goes through within the community. And when they come here, they don't speak the language. Most of these, they're farmers. They grew up in rural area in Africa. And with the war, they've been moved to a different area around the East Africa, and resettlement agency been picked up from there, and the United Nations and the State Department. And when they arrive here, the community has to step up. So we are trying to do our best. But with this resettlement agency that we are creating, that's going to be much easier for us, because we cannot any other group like Somali, from Eritrea, Filipino, Burma, all these other, they have agency and they work with the federal government to alleviate all these expenses, because it's very expensive to have just one family or four. It's very expensive to resell them. So the community cannot afford to do that. And we are working with the federal agency and other foundation within DeKalb County and Gwinnett County to help the resettlement. The most important thing is my brother. I will give you just a quick example. A child that is 15 years old that's been living in a tent for 10 years in one of the United Nations camp. They have tent. They have outside, you know, just traditional bathroom, as you know how it is. And they have a tent with a teacher that will come in the morning and teach in those conditions in a tent. And for years, this kid probably for 5 to 15 years, that's all they know in our life. So when they come to America, they have to transition into the system. At 15, they are put into middle school. And by the time they know, it's high school graduation. But for the 3 years, a lot of them have language barrier. A lot of them don't know. But for the sake of these counties, they're pushing all these kids to graduate from high school, knowing that a lot of them, they can't speak English well, they cannot write English well. And so by the time they graduate, it's fine. But at the end of the graduation, they can't go to college because most of them have to restart. So it's something that I did address with the DeKalb County commissioners and the city of mayor, I mean, the mayor of Clarkston, Mayor Burks. We did address all this issue. They know exactly. As I'm talking to you, there's a Zoom going on that I'm going to have to jump in. We are talking about education, vaccine, and housing, all these issues. It's a serious problem within the community, because we have seen a change within the last 8 years about all these kids that I've seen coming here at that age. Some of them, less than 10%, they went to college, less. The rest got jobs. Since they can't work at Walmart because they can't speak the language, they fall into the mid parking, which is offer maybe $2 or $3 more than Walmart, but that's it. It's a job, and they're growing up, and then they become men, and they have to responsibility to send money back home, and this cycle has to be stop. We have to do something to stop, and this is not one thing for one community. It takes everybody to jump in. Thanks.
Yeah, you have covered a lot of very significant, important issues, such as the educations and the barriers that the DRC refugees who are resettled here in the United States are facing. The same issues that they're facing in Atlanta, Georgia, and elsewhere. It's the same problems they're facing here in the state of Columbia. I mean, in the state of South Carolina and elsewhere, New Jersey, and across the United States. Have you thought about created like a national refugees from DRC associations that will address all these issues and barriers in one packages and presenting them to the state representative and the U.S. Senators?
Yes. What we're doing right now within our other communities from Dallas, Georgia, South, other community, package is we just started. We're going to start in Georgia, and then we're going to move from different Georgia. We're going to do presentation. As a matter of fact, the first stop will be in Champaign, Illinois. It's a big refugee community over there, and my brother over there, Pastor Matanda, is going to host. We are going to do like a town hall meeting, but before we do that, we are send flyers for people to in these different languages they feel comfortable reading, and for to know about it. But it's going to be nationwide, and once we did, we do here in Georgia. Once we have all these people signing up, and we. Definitely going to present that to our representative to the state of Georgia, and see how the state of Georgia will help us moving forward with that program. And I think the incentive will come. The incentive will come definitely. You know how it is, the matching program, things
absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will come along, and then from there, once we have the backing of state of Georgia, and we're going to start moving from here to different states. And as I said, Dallas, Raleigh, in Florida, there's so many places, especially Dallas, there's a large refugee community, Kentucky, Alabama. So we're going to walk around and we're going to traveling around to do those presentations. But this first start is next Saturday, be 1 to 5, and we're going to do that first presentation.
Very good. That's the Congolese president in Atlanta, Georgia, is speaking with the American Swahili News podcast and Swahili Villa podcast. Thank you for taking your time again.
Sure.
And speaking with us. I'm looking forward to meet with you on that July 31st in Georgia. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Doctor. That's my pleasure. Thank you for reaching out. I appreciate that. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye.